We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football.
Welcome in, episode 86 of Hogan Johns. Got to go with the Marty Booker episode here.
Marty Booker, didn't he have like the enormous hand size?
Yes.
Since we're talking draft picks and hand size and things like this episode, his hands were like enormous, right? Like,
which is good for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Good for quarterbacks too. This is episode 86. Good number for this week. I was born in 86, and Sunday's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
So that's what I'm going with.
You would be 31?
31. Good math.
Getting old. Getting old.
Good math there.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
One of my favorite.
Was that one better than this one?
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
That one's better.
One's more appropriate than the other.
Oh, yeah, of course. Welcome in, Adam Hogue. Adam Johns here, episode 86 of the podcast. And want to thank everyone. We had a strong March. Saw some of the numbers. Appreciate all of our loyal listeners that follow along and tell their friends about the podcast. We appreciate you. And it's only going to get stronger. This is draft month now. This is our second draft episode. Got some exciting things. We're going to concentrate on defense this week. We'll dive into the quarterbacks. I know everyone wants to talk quarterbacks. We'll do that next week. Coming up the week of the draft, we will do our annual mock draft episode, which we always bring in two special guests to help us with that. We go around the room and we basically simulate the first round of the draft. So we'll have that coming up for you. Draft week, and then Ryan Pace talks that week in the weirdest press conference of the year, the day before the draft, when he can't tell us anything.
And he makes a concerted effort. For a guy who is willing to reveal certain things in his press conferences, the draft one is the most awkward for him. And I mean that in the most genuine of terms, because he tries so hard. He's willingly trying to be forthright with you, but not give you a single darn thing.
Right. And we're in a tough spot because it's like,
We want his draft board.
Any question we ask is like something we know we're not getting an answer to. Yes, so it's just, anyway, that's coming up the week of the draft too, and we'll do a podcast right after that and get you all ready for the draft. So plenty coming up here as it is NFL draft month. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com, and you can find the podcast on iTunes. You can find it on TuneIn. There's a couple other places I didn't even know about that people tweeted at me last week that I'm forgetting off the top of my head now that you can find the podcast. It's everywhere now.
Where's that?
I just said I can't remember.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening in those. We can't remember it.
There are other ways to get the podcast, I found out.
That's fantastic.
Like maybe on the Google thing, like isn't there a Google Play or something? I don't know. I think it's basically everywhere you need it to be. And you can also download the WGN Radio app and find the podcast there as well. Please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. That helps spread the word. Okay, so here's what I want to start with. Did you see any of this new ESPN? I guess it's like a series. It's like a docu-series on Bears fans.
Right.
It debuted last night.
I'm well aware of it. I was invited to their debut downtown. I had to miss it for the class I teach.
I didn't get an invite. What the hell?
Well, talk to ESPN.
Jesus.
I have a TiVo'd. I'm a little busy. The witching hour for my youngest son now is like from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh, that's terrible.
And
that's supposed to be like quiet time.
Yeah, so it's the other kids are in bed. Yeah, I'm trying to get a infant with my wife to settle down. So they're on my watch list actually tonight. Well, I'm trying to get him settled down.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm going to be like a day behind on the episode, but go on.
Yeah, no. So this debuted last night. The first two episodes were on ESPN as we record this on Wednesday morning. But the first four are available online, like on the Watch ESPN app. So I actually watched the first four last night because I had a quiet night. There were like no games on
last night.
Little
binge watching?
Little binge watching. this series is okay. It's not like, it's kind of what you would expect.
Following fans.
I mean, we grew up in Chicago, so we kind of know what Bears fans are. And mm-hmm. There's really nothing surprising in there. There's an interesting relationship, though, with a guy named Mike, and I'm forgetting his now wife's name, but it's one of the storylines. She's not really a sports fan. He's a huge sports fan. I can definitely relate to this. Game 6 of the NLCS was during their wedding, which was tough. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals was during my wedding. Fortunately, we were at a place that had no access to the internet, no TV, so it wasn't an issue. This guy had a little bit more of an issue. So this all happens in episode 4, the actual wedding. So they're showing footage of the wedding. And the priest has a small role. Well, a big role in the wedding, but like a small role in what they're showing. And they actually show him, you know, like, yeah, you're married, congratulations. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I hit rewind, and I paused it. I'm like, that's Father John Belmonte. Was one of our priests at St. Ignatius when I was in high school. And a significant priest for me because he helped us found the Digital Media Club, which still exists. It was like literally my first dabble in radio back in high school. Essentially what that was what you and I are doing right now. Like, we sat in a room with microphones recording podcasts.
Really?
Like, people didn't even think about it at the time. For us, it was just like getting experience and like going down the path of doing radio. And he helped us found this thing. And, you know, I haven't talked to him probably since high school. He actually left to go be the principal at Marquette College Prep, I think it's called.
Where's that?
Up in Milwaukee.
Okay. Is it affiliated with the university?
Right. Yeah. It's like the high school affiliated with the college up there in Milwaukee. And now he's this in Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately like Googled him last night when I'm watching this. Found his Twitter account, hit follow. He shot me back a message like 2 seconds later.
Really?
And so
his priest is on his iPhone.
Hey, man, he was all about the technology early.
Yeah.
Podcast right. Back in, this must have been 2003.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing a couple, I guess we would call them podcasts now. We considered them like radio shows at the time. But it was during like the NLCS. 2003, the whole Bartman thing.
Okay.
I remember that was like some of the first shows we did.
Well, here's my story about that show. They actually filmed some of it two doors down from me.
Really?
During the I haven't seen these episodes yet. Are you in the Halloween episode yet? Has that come up yet?
I don't think so. I haven't seen any Halloween.
Who did the Bears play in Halloween?
The Vikings.
Vikings, okay.
Yeah. They won that game.
Yes, they did. So during that day, that morning, obviously I'm spending as much time as I can with my kids before going down to Soldier Field, and this film crew shows up at my neighbor's house, and we're going to call him Tommy. That's his name. I'm going to leave his last name out. But Tommy's the type of guy who completely decks out his house in Halloween stuff. We're talking about ghouls and ghosts and moving skeletons, and he puts out a tent.
Is this the guy who had like the giant screen set up in his backyard that was actually showing like Halloween movies?
Oh, he goes all out. Okay. So he's there's like a rope net that has a giant spider on it. There's like a little haunted house for kids to walk through. He dresses up like a scarecrow some years and freaks everybody out. Anyway, there was a Halloween party thrown that day. He's a diehard Bears fan. Now, he's not part of the show, but I'm guessing some of the fans that they follow around in this documentary went to his party, and they came there. So they were filming all day. They shot clips from my children, some of my friends' children. I think some of them might be in it later. But it's kind of, as we know Chicago to be, with story about your priest, story about my neighborhood, as big as Chicago is, it's a very, very small town in many ways.
It's crazy. It is. It is. I mean, my mind was like blown, just like, whoa. Watching this. Anyway, shout out to Father John Belmonte, who
he could be listening to the podcast for all we know.
He could, and
his
iPhone. This podcast wouldn't exist without him. If it wasn't
you're getting deep.
If it wasn't for
Adam's
the
getting emotional now, guys.
SICP Digital Media Club.
Tears rolling in his eyes.
Thank you. This entire podcast brought to you by @Father_Belmonte on Twitter.
Wait, he has a Twitter handle?
Yes. That's how I found him last night.
That's right.
Twitter's the best.
Okay.
Hashtag SICP. Way better than Notre Dame.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right, let's
go. Anyway, we don't need to get into high school stuff here.
Catholic rivalries. But just, you know, it's better. Interesting.
Just don't you forget who owns the Chicago Bears and where they went to high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
President of the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
This beat writer. A certain Comcast beat writer. Yeah. We're everywhere, Adam Hoag.
Yeah.
The Dons are everywhere.
Well. Good luck against the Wolfpack. All right, some draft talk. Speaking of Twitter last night, interesting tweet from Adam Schefter, which essentially said that the Browns are having very serious internal debate between Myles Garrett and Mitch Trubisky for the number one pick. Now, we should be careful about this because it is smokescreen season.
Yes.
Right? It is lying season. And as the closer we get to the draft, the more smoke that gets put out there. However, I think it's also important to remember that there was a report during the combine from Mary Kay Cabot at is it the Cleveland
Plain Dealer?
Plain Dealer, and she's a really good, respected reporter too. And she reported at the time that the Browns were considering Trubisky number one.
Yes.
So it's not like this is just getting thrown out of nowhere at this point. It we're talking about two very respected reporters.
Schefter doesn't do smoke screens not often.
I know. That's why, and he was dead right on the Garoppolo stuff.
Yes.
All right. Let's look at this from two angles. The first angle is, this is unbelievable to me. I like Trubisky, and I'm willing to tell you that he's going to be my number one quarterback once we get my rankings out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I like him enough that even if the Bears took him at number three overall, I probably wouldn't crush it. Like, I don't think he's probably worth that high of a pick, but he's the one quarterback that I would be okay, you know, maybe reaching for at that spot. But if Myles Garrett's on the table, that's a completely different discussion. These two players aren't even in the same stratosphere. This would be the most Browns thing ever.
I like that idea, that this is so Browns, this is what the Browns do, but I also like the idea that they're not tied to this whole collective groupthink that it's Myles Garrett or nothing.
But it is.
Doesn't have to be.
But it does have to be.
This is all opinion. Every evaluation is opinion. If they think Mitchell Trubisky is going to be more valuable for their franchise and they think he's a franchise quarterback, then you should draft him. Don't be afraid to do it. There's no guarantee that Myles Garrett's going to be a all-pro outside linebacker. Look, it took Jadeveon Clowney, who's a freakish athlete, very similar to Myles Garrett, 3 years because of injuries to finally blossom. And even then, his numbers weren't overly impressive. I'm just saying.
All right, we had this discussion last week about sure things. There is no sure thing. There's always the possibility of a freak injury. You know,
yes,
things
yes.
happen. It does happen. Myles Garrett is as close to a sure thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That has been in a draft since Andrew Luck, in my opinion. And that includes Jadeveon Clowney, because there were questions about Clowney's senior season, or I guess it was his junior season, his last season in college, some of the effort put forth, you know, which if there is a knock on Garrett, some of that's been out there, but I don't think he was 100% healthy this year.
No, he was dealing with some things.
So he's a sure thing.
Yeah.
As close to one as there can be. Now, what the Browns must be seeing here is more that they just look at Trubisky like he is going to be an incredible quarterback.
Yes.
And that is the argument. The quarterback position, as important as pass rushing is, really, in football, it's quarterbacks and guys who can get after the quarterback.
Yes.
That's ultimately what it comes down to as the most important, two important parts of football. Quarterback, guy who can sack the quarterback.
Yes.
All right?
Because pass rushers are so important because they're going after the passer.
Yeah.
The passer is number one.
So, in this situation, I like Trubisky. I think there is a chance that he can be a very, very good quarterback. The Browns obviously are more convinced than I am on that, if they're even having these conversations. But to me, the risk involved with Trubisky is 9,000 times higher than the risk involved with Myles Garrett.
Right, right.
And it's to the point where if 5 years from now, Trubisky is been to three Pro Bowls and Garrett busts out because he broke his leg twice or whatever, you know, some Kevin White type situations, I would still look back on it and go, well, I can't blame the Browns for what they did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if this goes the other way and Trubisky sucks, which is a very realistic possibility, and Garrett turns out to be a future Hall of Famer, which is also a very realistic possibility, they're going to look like idiots if they pass on him.
Here's the thing. You take a quarterback. I'm all for giving quarterbacks time to develop. They need it. Coming from, look, I was talking to a close league contact this whole week about the quarterbacks and stuff like that. So much of this is a projection now because you got these shotgun happy teams. Mitch Trubisky was in a system where he spent most of his time in shotgun, no huddle, all this stuff. So there's an adjustment in so many different things and fundamentals and just a mental aspect. He won't be ready to play week one, just like Jared Goff wasn't ready to play in week one. But if you're taking a quarterback, number one, this is why I was critical of the Rams pick. You best play him because he's the number one overall pick. You need him to play like a Peyton Manning, like an Andrew Luck. If you take a quarterback number one overall, you should be confident that he can play day one. I don't think that's Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, Patrick Mahomes, any of these guys this year.
Well, I didn't think that was Jared Goff either. I mean, I was pretty open last year saying that I didn't think he was ready right away because of the offense he played
yes,
at Cal.
Yes.
And I thought Wentz was ready to play earlier. I thought Goff had a slightly higher ceiling. We'll see how that still plays mm-hmm. out, but that's kind of how it turned out. I mean, Wentz ended up starting week one, Goff didn't. And as people were so critical of the Rams for not playing him, I actually was fine with it because the guy had to learn. He needs to take a big step forward, though, here in year two.
But that's like the risk with the Bears at number three. You take a Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to redshirt him a year when you're passing up on a potential guy who could help you right now. I know the Bears aren't planning for right now, but the Bears do need to sort of win yeah. right now after the past two seasons to alleviate some pressure on them to give John Fox another year. There's a lot of things to consider.
We'll talk about this more next week in our quarterbacks episode, but I don't know that I've ever been this confused about where quarterbacks are going to go. And that's just not me. That's me talking to other people. I mean, I talked to two different evaluators who think that this is going to look more like the 2014 draft, where Bortles went third, and then we didn't see another quarterback taken until Johnny Manziel at 22.
And then Bridgewater
ends up going with the last pick in the first round because the Vikings traded up to grab him so that they could have that extra fifth-year option.
You know who went number 36 that year?
Derek Carr.
You know who was the number 36 pick this year?
The Bears.
There it is.
And Jimmy Garoppolo.
Synergy. To use a Phil Emery word, synergy.
And Garoppolo.
I don't even know if it's the right use of the word in this instance.
Well,
Garoppolo was after that.
Garoppolo was number 62 in the second round, too. They ended up being the two best quarterbacks. Well, I don't know.
We don't know about
you
Garoppolo.
Could say that about Garoppolo yet, but and Bridgewater is a decent quarterback, but hurt. So
yeah,
that's an unfortunate. That's that always sliver of hey, anything can happen in football, where no one is a sure thing. But you're right; it's all projection. And speaking of projection, let's continue. This was going to be kind of our defensive episode. Myles Garrett, the other side of this. Okay, you want to take Trubisky number one? That dude becomes one pick away from the Bears then.
Yeah.
Now, I can't see any way he gets to number three because all of a sudden Solomon Thomas has been linked really, really hard to the 49ers at number two. There's some connections there. Of course, local, you know, Stanford proximity, the John Lynch factor. If they're that high on Solomon Thomas, then they take Myles Garrett.
Yes.
They have to.
Yeah.
So I can't see a scenario where Garrett falls number three. If it did, I mean, you talk about like two decades of draft frustration for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what?
What a miracle that would be.
The only instance I could see it, say the Browns do take Trubisky. Maybe some other team panics. Maybe Trubisky was the best quarterback on their board. and they're desperate to get a quarterback. The Bills, the Jets.
And they trade up to number two?
Trade up to number two.
That's why if you're the Bears, and they do such a – Ryan Pace has done an incredible job of this, and you know, whoever else is involved in this, not letting stuff leak out. I mean, they have us completely guessing right now on what they're going to do. It doesn't seem like they're going to draft a quarterback. But, you know, who knows? Maybe teams within the NFL view that differently. And actually, if I was them, I would, you know, be trying to make it look like they're going to pick a quarterback for that very reason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the rest of the NFL thinks they're going to take Deshaun Watson or Trubisky, and like you just said, maybe the Bills want one that bad. And they're that. There's always a team desperate. There's always a desperate team willing to do something stupid in the NFL. Always. Maybe they trade up to number two. Maybe they offer the 49ers a package they can't turn down, even for Myles Garrett. And they do that, and then all of a sudden Garrett's there at three. That sounds like a huge,
huge
wish.
Yeah, I know.
Dream.
I think one thing we got to consider balancing out the quarterback and the defensive player argument here is that John Fox has a history of when his teams have had top five picks, right? It took Julius Peppers in Carolina. When did Von Miller go? Three? Was Von Miller three?
Two or three.
So he has a history of top five picks and finding a special defensive player. I'm trying to figure out which one. Okay, say Garrett goes number one overall.
Von Miller was number two overall.
Number two.
2011.
And Julius Peppers was number two, right?
Yes.
So same range, 2-3. I think they have special defensive players here to consider. Now, both those guys are pass rushers. Both those guys are frontline players, and I think that's going to mean something. That's why I think if Solomon Thomas is there, I think he's going to rate a slight edge over a Malik Hooker or a Marshawn Lattimore. Because he plays up front, and there's a history established of John Fox taking those players.
Yeah, and I think we've seen Vic Fangio's influence on the draft too, especially with what happened last year with Leonard Floyd. And
right,
as much as we've said in the past, maybe not we don't put too much stock in the fact that he was at Stanford's pro day. You know, you can't ignore it either.
Yeah, he lives out there. Yeah. Well, just look at what they're doing though, offensively and defensively. They're building. In the trenches, strength, white hair, sitting long. Strength of the Bears' defense, the front seven. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, you had two great middle linebackers. And then you got Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd up in the front seven. So they're building strong fronts. And I think, again, if Solomon Thomas is there, I think that vision of having a strong front is what maybe gives him the slight edge when it comes to picking maybe a member of the secondary.
And let me go back to what I was just sort of hinting at earlier, which was if this does look like the 2014 draft with the quarterbacks falling, and there's plenty of others who totally disagree. I know Greg Gabriel's been all over Twitter saying he thinks it's that the amount of teams that need quarterbacks.
Right.
And I saw a mock draft this morning that had Davis Webb in the first round.
Oh, boy.
I've been on the record. I like Davis Webb as one of these middle-tier guys with a high upside, but he needs a ton of work. You're using a first-round pick on him. You're nuts.
Yeah.
You're nuts. So there's two school of thoughts here, and that's why I really am probably the most confused I've ever been going into a draft about where these quarterbacks are going to fall. But if it does go that other way where these quarterbacks don't go early, because this is such a strong defensive draft, one of these guys could be available for the Bears at number 36. I mean, you just mentioned how Derek Carr fell there.
Yeah.
What a miracle and a pick for the Raiders. A franchise-changing pick. You know, I'm not a huge fan.
Who did they get in the first round that year? Franchise-changing pick as well.
Khalil Mack.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good draft for the Raiders. Which is why they're
number five, right?
Which is why they're where they are now in the playoffs.
Yes. They got their pass rusher and their passer.
The top two of that. Great job, Reggie McKenzie. So, you know, if that somehow worked out for... That's why I don't think they're going to reach for one of these guys at number three. But, you know...
Well, I did a story the other day.
Well, it's quarterbacks, I mean.
There's a number of teams that are already said to be looking for their next quarterback. The Giants, the Chiefs, the Steelers. God, there's the Saints, who have two first-round picks now after the trade with the Patriots. So there's a lot of moving pieces now at the end of the draft. The Cardinals, where you got all these guys in the 20 to 32 range, where your value for your DeShone Kizer, Patrick Mahomes, can be. And that could skew a lot of drafts, especially since it's so thin at quarterback, that those guys will move up, knowing that maybe you could get a good starter at corner or safety because it's so deep in those positions.
All right, let's go through some of these top defensive names. I'll give you my top five. Let's start with that. So Garrett's number one. Okay. I'm just going defense now. I'm not even going to mention offensive players. All right. So Myles Garrett, number one. I think there's a huge gap between him and the next guy. Jamal Adams is my number two defensive guy.
Okay.
He's my number one safety. It's really the leadership to me. You do your homework on this kid. Everyone raves about him as a leader. A guy can come in and be, you know, the quarterback of the defense day one. So while he maybe doesn't have the high upside ball skills wise of Malik Hooker, which is maybe a more rare thing to find in the NFL, I just love the whole total package of Jamal Adams to put him as my number one safety. Okay. This is a change for me, a small change, at least from my second mock draft when I went with Jabril Peppers. Because of Hooker's, I did that because of Malik Hooker's injuries. But in terms of all these guys, and we've talked about Lattimore, we've talked about Jonathan Allen's shoulders. He's got these players that are in the mix for the Bears at number three that have these injury concerns. The way it's been put to me that Malik Hooker's are the easiest to overcome. That in terms of long-term impact, these two surgeries he's had in the offseason are pretty normal football surgeries for a guy who plays. He's young. He's raw. He's got a ton of upside. And he's probably got the best ball skills out of any player in the secondary. So that's why, to me, Malik Hooker has moved up ahead of Jabril Peppers, who I just love as a football player, a guy you can put on the field and put everywhere. So for me, in terms of total defensive players, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, Jabril Peppers, three safeties. Boom, boom, boom. Right there after Myles Garrett. And I think that's, you know, as much as we just talked about the importance of getting after the quarterback, I think when you look at this Bears depth chart, what they've done with the front seven the last 2 years, I really think they need to add an impact player in a secondary like that.
Here's my concerns when it comes to the Ohio State defensive backs. And it's the same argument that we have, or concerns we have with the Jonathan Allen. You could have three members of the Ohio State secondary going in the first round. Marshon Lattimore, Malik Hooker, and everybody's forgetting about, I can't even say his first name, Gerrion Conley.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Three possible first-round picks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy?
Out of those three?
Yeah.
Well, you don't think they're all going to work out?
No. No way do they all work out. It's like Jonathan Allen.
They're pretty good, though.
They are pretty good. But I saw a clip from...
I think if Lattimore stays healthy, he is the most sure thing.
One of Daniel Braverman's highlight clips is him one-on-one with Marshon Lattimore in the slot. He destroyed Marshon Lattimore. Now, that was a year ago, but it's still part of his tape.
Mm-hmm.
A Daniel Braverman, who is 5 foot,
it's a fair
nothing,
point.
Who didn't play well or much at all last year, seventh round pick, true slot receiver, took Marshon Lattimore, who is one of the top defensive players, they say, in this draft, who could be a number three pick, who's been mocked there, took him to school.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's like Jonathan Allen. I like bringing up this argument a lot because I know scouts struggle with it. He was behind two guys last year that were second-round picks. Why is he a top-five pick?
Well, and he also wasn't considered a top-five pick last year. He decided to come back, and he moved himself up.
Yes.
But he also put on another year of...
Tape.
Well, tape and miles and a beating on his body in the SEC at Alabama. So,
and he's got those bad shoulders.
I think that's a fair question. Why did he all of a sudden move up just by going back for one more year, and you have to counterbalance that with the beating he took by playing for another year.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's a fair question. It's a fair question.
That's why I think I like Jamal Adams a lot. I think he could be, you mentioned sure thing and safe things. There's no such thing, but there's guys who are more than others.
I think he's starting week one.
Yes, yes, yes. And probably Malik Hooker would too. I just, you know, when you have so much talent on a team, you see this all the time with Alabama. They don't all transcend and become good players in the NFL. You know, it's hard identifying who's the guy when you got a bunch of great guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think Jamal Adams is just he's going to come in and command that the respect of the locker room right away. You play him. I think he's a Pro Bowler. I don't know about year one Pro Bowl, but could be. And while he might not have the quote unquote ball skills of Malik Hooker with all, was it 7 interceptions in one season?
Yeah.
And very impressive, no question. It might not have the range sideline to sideline, which is all these stuff these scouts and GMs fall in love with. Sometimes you just got to look at the football player and just say, look, this guy's going to be on the field week one, mm-hmm. and we're going to be able to depend on him, which is not something the Bears have been able to say about a safety in a really, really long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I just kind of believe in the value of the positions too. Safety, what one's the highest safety ever drafted, at least recent memory? Eric Berry, number 5?
Yeah.
Is 3 that much of a stretch?
I don't think so. Not for a guy. I don't think those two spots really matter if a guy is going to be that good.
All right, Solomon Thomas or Jamal Adams?
Adams. My problem.
You mentioned,
My problem. I keep flip flopping. I had Allen ahead of Thomas
mm-hmm.
before the shoulder info came out. And again, it looks like those shoulders are not really going to bother Jonathan Allen a whole lot early on in his career. It's something he's played through, can continue to play through, and I think he's a good player. I think he's going to. I think Jonathan Allen is probably going to be a better pro right away than Solomon Thomas. Again, we get back to projections, though. Are those shoulders going to get worse as time goes on? Is it going to shorten his career? And is Thomas, with the athleticism, the upside, you know, the burst, is he going to ultimately become the better player? That's what we're talking about here. Now, I just have questions about whether or not a 270-pound guy who's really known for being more of an edge setter on the outside, it's when he kicks inside, shoots the gaps, which is something that, you know, the Bears could use in nickel packages. But can a 270-pound guy do that against huge NFL offensive linemen? It's not the Pac-12 anymore. That's my big question.
I know, but I think we can't just envision him as or picture him as a typical 5 technique. He's not going to be that. He can be more than that.
You stand him up.
Yeah, you get your Mitch Unrines in the world who could come in on your 3rd-and-2s, right? Who could plug up a hole. Solomon Thomas is out there in your 3rd-and-9s.
Well, it's all how the Bears envision using him.
Yeah.
You know, just because he was used one way in college doesn't mean you use him the same
way. Exactly. It's all projections, like Leonard Floyd.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess right now if you had to pull my arm, and I admitted this last, it's like the same thing. It's like the safe. I'm more of a safe pick guy than a risk pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in terms of upside. That's just me, and I know a lot of GMs go the other way, and they're willing to take that risk based on how they project the guy. So when I look at Allen and I look at Thomas, I think I'd still, if I had to pick between the two, go with Allen, and know that I'm going to get the next 3 years a really solid player.
Yeah,
you want to get more. Again, that's why I don't think I take him at number 3 either. You know, I think you got to get more out of that pick. But if I'm just picking between those two guys, I think I'm going with Jonathan Allen over Solomon Thomas.
Even though Thomas seems to fit the mold of the super athletic Ryan Pace mold for first round picks.
If you, that's a different question, though. If you ask me who I think the Bears would pick in that situation, I think they'd probably go with Thomas. I kind of think they might go Hooker over Adams.
Because of
the upside and the rare ball skills and the way they might project him to be. I'm sort of the opposite, I think. And again, we're going off of 2 first-round picks right now. They're still very early in the Ryan Pace era.
What did he use again at the owners' meetings with you guys? What word? Elite players? We'll have some elite players there to consider.
I never looked that up after you asked me last week. Sorry.
Just trying to
something
think.
Like that.
All right, if you had to name 4 of those, who are those players? Who are they? Miles Garrett. Solomon Thomas. Malik Hooker. Marshawn Lattimore. Jamal Adams.
I don't know if Adams is in that mix. This gets bad. I mean, they do such a good job of hiding this stuff.
And it's deep at cornerback and safety.
That's right.
It's deep at pass rusher, though, too.
Right. They're if you want to use that word elite, their best shot at getting an elite defensive lineman is with that third pick.
Yeah.
Whereas they can probably grab a corner in the second or a safety in the second that could actually surprise and be better. So the depth on the defensive line is not – I think you can get solid defensive linemen later. But like as I've gone through my mock drafts, if I'm not taking Allen or Thomas in the first round, there's not anyone that jumps off the page in the second round. That's the difference between the secondary and the defensive line in this draft. You get to the second round in the secondary, you have a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So by ignoring D-line in the first round as I've gone through my mock drafts, I haven't addressed it until later. And it's been more of an edge rusher, I think. I can't remember every single pick off the top of my head right now. All right. So talked about Allen, talked about Lattimore, talked about Thomas. Get down the line here. Reuben Foster.
Visited the Bears not too long ago.
He would project as an inside linebacker.
Yep. I think he's more of a if-we-trade-back option. I can't see him at number three.
Very complicated situation because, for one, there's character concerns. And it goes beyond just what happened at the combine. But I always – like, my biggest red flag I can put on a guy is when you screw up in these 4 months between the end of your senior, your last season and the draft. Like, it's a four-month job interview. And, like, would you ever walk into a job interview and get in a fight with the guy who's interviewing you? You know what I mean? Like,
you have
to be on your best behavior.
Even if you're tired and hungry and all that.
Like, you can't go out drinking. You can't go out smoking. You got 4 months here to focus on the rest of your career. You know what I mean? So when guys screw up, when they get arrested, or, I mean, it's such an unheard-of situation where you yell at a hospital worker at the combine when you're going through your medical checks, that's a huge red flag to me. Now, you still do your homework, you find out what happened, and all that's what these and like Dak Prescott's a good example last year. Dak Prescott got a DUI. And immediately, in most situations, I'd probably take a guy who got a DUI off my board.
Yeah.
But you did your home. I did this, you know, I talked to people and they all said, "Look, this guy's got tremendous character. This really seems like just a really horrible mistake that he made."
Yeah.
That it's not a pattern. It's not like a Johnny Manziel situation. He doesn't have a drinking problem. And so you do all that, and Prescott was still on there, right in the fourth round for me.
Yeah.
Is where I had him projected. So, and it probably did hurt him a little bit, but he still got drafted. So for me, this Reuben Foster situation, it's tough for me to use a first round pick on him. I think he's a good player. I don't know that inside linebacker is the most important position in the scheme that the Bears are running.
Yeah.
I do think it's a position of need more than people want to say because Trevathan's hurt.
They do like Nick Okowski.
Freeman's
old. Vic Fangio likes Nick Okowski a lot.
That's fine, but there's two.
Freeman's old, but he's not showing any signs of slowing down.
Yeah, but you could have said that about Tracy Porter last year, too, before the season.
Yeah. Here's my again, this goes back to the Jonathan Allen theory. Remember last year the Bears were, a lot of people mocked Reggie Ragland to the Bears at number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he end up going? 20? The Bills? 21 to the Bills something like that. Here's a guy in the middle of an amazing defense playing behind Jonathan Allen with Ryan Anderson on his right, Tim Williams on his left, a great secondary. He better be good. He better be making all these tackles. I mean, if he's playing behind Jaron Reed and A'shaun Robinson, 2 second-round picks of last year, he better be outstanding. He better look good.
Yeah,
because he's playing with a bunch of first, second round, third round picks. I struggle with the evaluation. If you know, all linebackers should look good playing in a defense like that. Again, I think it is a need for the Bears. I don't think it's a pressing need for the Bears, and I think Reuben Foster. All that said, all my critiques of Alabama aside, I think he's a pretty good football player. I just don't think the value of him as a player is at number 3.
Yeah, I agree. All right, some other. You mentioned Gerrion Conley, Quincy Wilson, a couple corners. I think probably go later in the first round. These are all players that probably are not going to be available for the Bears early in the second.
Right. Marlon Humphrey, there's another great Alabama defensive player. It makes for a tough evaluation when you get all those guys. Again, go on.
Yeah. So if the Bears trade back, you know, maybe a guy like Derek Barnett, an edge rusher out of Tennessee.
Very productive for 3 years, right?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people have compared some of the games in the SEC. You know, he had better production than Myles Garrett in some of those games when you looked at who he was going up against one-on-one. So a lot of people like him. Taco Charlton out of Michigan. You know, Ryan Anderson, another Alabama player who maybe could be in play for the Bears early in the second round. These are those types of players who could slip in first, could maybe, you know, someone always falls to early in the second that I think is a first-round talent. It happened a couple years ago with Eddie Goldman.
Yeah.
Like, Bears didn't even have the third overall pick. And Eddie Goldman fell. A lot of people thought he was a late first-rounder, and he's turning out to be a pretty good player. So I think the Bears are going to end up with a really solid player early in the second round.
They could honestly really strengthen their defense with the first two picks. Not just two quality contributors, but starting stars, possibly. I think everything points to them going defense. Yes, quarterback is such a high. It's so important to finally get it right, and I think they should take another swing at a guy in this draft. But in terms of what they could really do for their defense, knowing John Fox's history, knowing Vic Fangio's influence, and knowing what they've already established defensively, you're looking at very good defensive players in the first and second rounds, and to really turn your defense into not just one that surprises teams when they look at them on film or surprises everybody on the field, but could be really a top 10 defense if they get this right.
What if DeShone Kizer falls to number 36?
I don't think he will.
I've talked to people who really think one of these four is
going to will be there at 36. I thought it would be Mahomes.
I don't know if it'll be there at 36, but will not be drafted in the first round. There are three picks before the Bears, because the Bears have the fourth pick in the second round.
Well, if I'm the Bears and I'm sitting there at 36 and DeShone Kizer is there, I hope my phone is ringing, because I think a lot of teams will be looking for him in that situation.
I mean, ultimately, it depends on their evaluation. Like, they might like Mahomes, they might not like Kizer. So if one of them, you know, if Mahomes is there, then they take him.
Yeah.
And Kizer's there looking at his trade.
Yeah.
Right.
I was talking to a guy I trust in the league yesterday, and he goes, I don't get what people see in Kizer. Just look at the tape. What did he do last year at Notre Dame? I don't care what Brian Kelly is or has become. What in that tape tells you he should be a first-round pick? So he could very well be there at 36.
We'll get into this more next week in our quarterbacks episode, but real quick on Kizer, one thing that has impressed me that I didn't know, you know, you don't really get to know these guys when they're in college. It's really this draft process that you really understand what's going on behind the scenes a little bit more. He's a really smart kid. It's on that Game Changers show on NFL Network, and Mariucci put him on the board with, like, some crazy play that he just, like, rattled off the top of his head. And Kizer, you know, it could be edited. You don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll leave out that possibility. It could have been edited. But the way it was presented was Kizer went, okay, flipped the board over, drew it, having heard it one time, and nailed it.
And it was a pro play?
Yeah, that was impressive to me, you know. So and I've heard that too, that he's pretty good in the quarterback room, just in terms of his quarterback smarts. It matters. So, but yeah, that tape last year is concerning. Although he does have valid excuses, wide receivers weren't as good, offensive line was terrible.
It's still Notre Dame.
Yeah, that line was terrible.
Haven't they had like top 10 recruiting classes like annually since Brian Kelly's been there?
Yeah, they've also had Brian Kelly as the coach.
I know that
there's a big difference between recruiting and coaching.
Yeah, I get it. Still Notre Dame.
If you're a quarterback, why would you want to play for Brian Kelly?
Especially now. Not now.
He doesn't seem like a nice guy.
Is it the fiery red face?
Yeah.
Is it him throwing things?
Let me give you some Jay Cutler projection off the TV screen instead of really getting to know the guy. He just doesn't look like a nice guy. Right? That's what people do with Jay.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do.
Yeah. No. Hey, how about the...
My opinion on Brian Kelly, by the way, is based more off of the, the two kids that are dead. I'll just say
that's awful. Oh, you want to go to my next story?
Well, I'm just saying that's really what... That's about for me.
Okay. Well, let me leave this on a happy note. Then,
yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Because that is, yes, that whole,
but it's
those controversies.
Yeah.
He should be fired a long time
Absolutely.
Ago. Let me just make my thoughts on that clear. I've said it on Twitter and on TV before. It's just egregious situations, tragic situations. Anyway, I want to leave this podcast with.
You want to sing me happy
something
birthday?
Something fun? No, I don't. No, I don't. So Mark Sanchez is going to wear number 6.
Yeah.
People are fired up about this.
Like happy or upset? I didn't want... You know what? I saw your tweet and I'm like, this is one tweet. I don't even want to read the responses.
It's kind of mixed, but it's mostly towards how dare he, Mark Sanchez.
Really?
Like
Cutler deserves that number?
At least not to be worn by a backup the year after he leaves.
Yeah.
Now, I know they lead the league in retired numbers. There's only so many numbers. Lance Briggs is 55, is back in circulation. Peyton Tillman's 33 is back in circulation. Devin Hester's 23 is in circulation. Brian Urlacher's 54 has not been issued since he left the team. Jay Cutler, for all his faults, is still the all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
And Mark Sanchez is, I know people are kind of upset about his arrival here, so I'm sure that's some of it. But in terms of all the draft stuff I put out on Twitter recently, I've gotten more responses over Mark Sanchez wearing number 6 over anything else.
It's a little weird, but I don't, this stuff doesn't bother me. Like, wasn't Shane McClellan wearing Dan Hampton's number?
99.
And Singletary.
And Singletary's number.
You know? I don't know. I got bigger things to worry about in life. I get why the fans get upset about it, though.
They're fans.
You think by the end of this year, the Bears will have a player that's worthy of buying their jersey?
I think you should buy Leonard Floyd. Kyle Long.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard.
Okay.
Not yet?
Maybe Kyle Long.
Okay.
All respect to Kyle Long, though, when your right guard is like the leader in jersey sales, I don't know that he is, by the way.
I'm not sure either.
But I would think like right now, that's the one guy, if you were to buy a jersey, that's where you go.
But Kyle Long,
he's locked up to an extension. You know he's going to be around. He's a good player, very good player. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls. But so all that there, if that's the guy, if your right guard is the guy, like you have bigger problems.
Yeah, but like Kyle Long's kind of a bigger personality. He's got the name.
Yeah, he's like the face of the franchise right now.
Yeah, he's. I get what you're saying. You don't want your right guard to be your best player in your football team, but he brings a little bit more of the intangible.
He's accusing us of things on Twitter with subtle mentions.
It's okay.
I didn't know what it was about.
It's okay.
I didn't do it.
All right.
Let's wrap this thing up. Quarterbacks next week. I love quarterbacks. I love talking quarterbacks.
I think this episode almost turned into a quarterback.
Well, how can you not? Everything goes back to the quarterbacks this year.
It has to.
All right. Episode 86, the Marty Booker episode of Hogue and John.
Big hands, Booker.
Big hands. Big hands, Johns?
No. Yeah. Average.
Big sneeze, Johns.
There you go.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, Hoge, at Adam Johns, JAHNS. Read us, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast. Search for Hogue and Johns on iTunes. Tune in. A bunch of other crap we don't even know about.
Do it.
WGN Radio app. It's all there. Rate, review the podcast. We love you guys. Appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week with our quarterbacks episode.